name is John, not that John. And so he is a soccer fan. Any one of you watch World Club? You know, that's a very famous worldwide thing, you know? Never heard of it. So John is a fanatic about soccer. So he has two friends, so three of them, like John, two other friends, and they said, "I wonder whether there's soccer in heaven." So they said, "Well, we don't know." So let's have a deal. Whoever go to heaven first, come back and tell us whether there's only soccer in heaven. So John's two friends, one died, never came back. The second one died. John said, "Hey, you know, the first one did not come back, the second one probably didn't, will not come back." But at one of the night, so one of the friends showed up, said, "John?" Said, "Yeah, I've been waiting. What happened to you, you know? I want to know whether there's soccer in heaven." He said, "Let me tell you, there is soccer in heaven, and you're playing goalie tonight." Supposed to be a joke, you know. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to commit this time to you. We want to hear your heart. We want to hear your heartbeat and the beat of our hearts. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to do this wonderful work of speaking to us and revealing truth to us so that we can follow you closely. Lord, we thank you, whether we live or die, we're yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this is a topic. It's called Wild Shepherd. And actually, Wild Shepherd is just a term. You can supplement it with other things like extraordinary. But wild is a good description. Jesus called himself a good shepherd, right? And also in the book of Peter, I believe, and Peter called him as a chief servant. So there's shepherds around us, and I think we can pause a little bit to kind of ask ourselves a little bit. When you think about a shepherd, what comes to your mind? Can anyone just give me some thoughts?
Patient.
So he's a patient kind of person, and watch over the sheep, I guess, at least. Not people, but sheep. And anything else? Huh? Has a staff. That's good. Huh? I wonder why some of the people do not use a staff here. And so, anything else? Well, when I thought about shepherd, I thought about one of my friends who told me this. He said, "I'm not getting fed." So shepherd is supposed to feed the lamb, right? So Jesus said to Peter, "You feed my lamb." And but I was thinking about recently when I read this again, you know, when Jesus talking to Peter, and I understand that actually shepherd is a leader, and he leads the sheep and to quiet stream and green pasture, right? You're familiar with Psalm 23, and also he leads the sheep to the path of righteousness. So he's a leader. In fact, the sheep kind of feed himself. And so when the shepherd led the sheep to that particular place, and they can rest, they can feel secure, they feel protected, and they get fed. So sometimes we think more than in terms of our understanding of our animal. You feed the cow, you feed the sheep, and you put food in their mouth. And in Hong Kong, they call the stuffed duck. So you open the duck, and then you stuff it in. And so they can become really fat, and then you can sell it for a high price. But really, in the biblical term, the shepherd is a leader who's leading the sheep to where they're supposed to be, and they follow the shepherd. So we hear the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knows the sheep. And I have an experience in Ireland, and Susan's family was a farmer having a sheep farm. So they said one of the sheep came to their home, and they raised it as a pet. So actually it called Dolly, and the sheep would come over. They really recognize each other. So that's what it is. The shepherd is a leader. So now, when we talk about this shepherd, we call him a... Okay, let's see what I can get my notes. is a wild shepherd. And why is that? Suppose to push this. The why. Why do we call Jesus a wild shepherd? And I think this will tell us a little bit. And Jesus said to his disciples, this is very careful. Actually, I learned it from David Pike in one of our Phase 1 missionary training. And he has a video we have to watch, and he shared that verse. I thought, oh, this is an interesting concept. He said, behold, I'm sending you out a sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So Jesus is the shepherd. He's leading us, right? So we said a shepherd is a leader. He's leading us. And then we follow him. And then he sent out his sheep to be among wolves. What do you think about that? You think that's pretty safe? I don't know whether you've seen any wolves recently. And you are a little fat sheep. And Jesus is sending you and saying, hey, I would like you to go among wolves. So that's why we call him a wild shepherd. He's a wild man, and he's sending his sheep to some danger. Then the question we ask ourselves is, why did he do this? I give you 2 L to describe it, okay? 2 L. Number one is in the same chapter, actually. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, and Evie just read it. And he sent them out two by two. And he mentioned this. He said, I'm sending you out just like sheep among the wolves. And then in the same instruction, so he's not quite finished, so he just kind of gave them a whole bunch of instruction at the end. And chapter 10, so that's in the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus sent them out. And that's in the end, and that's what he said. Is that whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so what Jesus had in mind, you have to think he's a good shepherd. And he's a leader. He wants the very best for us. And he said, the reason I send you out, because that is the one of the reasons I send you out, is so that you can experience life. You can find life. I don't know whether you thought too much about life, and I don't know what is life to you. I think to me, life means something that's very precious to me. So when I was a student, when I was in college, like many of you, good marks is life. For some of you, maybe good marks is not life. So when I speak to you about good marks, oh yeah, I don't like it. But for me, that's very important as an international student. My parents have invested a lot of money to send me overseas. I have to get good marks. And it's almost like a God that, you know, a lot of international students worship. And we want to have good marks. So for me, that is life. Whatever is valuable and treasure to you, that's life. And so for you, it could be something else. So I remember thinking about this verse. I took it my third year in engineering class, and I took heat and mass transfer. Any of you have taken heat and mass transfer? Well, that was a killer course, you know, in my time. It's like that professor killed people. Third year, they kick you out. You know, you either make it or you don't make it. And so I know that walking into it, I'm just kind of like, oh boy, you know. And he does quiz this way. So give you a quiz, either you get 10 out of 10, or you get 0 out of 10. So you don't have anything in the middle. I mean, sometimes you do, but not very often. So he's testing your concepts. So I was studying heat and mass transfer. I know there's a quiz coming up in a few hours. And I just had time to study one question. And then someone come to talk to me about something about God. And I was struggling. Have you ever had that struggle? I don't know when you have that struggle. When school is not important to you, that is not life. You're not losing life, you know. When you say, well, I'm going to talk to people about, you know, about Jesus, but I'm not going to do any school, that's not life. What I'm saying is that that's very important to me. I really want to get good mind. I want to study well. I want to know my concepts. So I chose to talk to that person and not to study for more questions. So I went into the quiz. Guess what? That was the question I studied, I got full marks. If he would use question two, I would get zero. So I began to trust God. And I said, God, I trust you. You said that when I am willing to lose my life, I'm going to gain my life. And that's why Jesus sent the sheep to the wolves. He said, I'm going to give you life. And as you understand, there is no chance for the sheep to survive in the wolves because they are vicious. They will eat you. They will destroy the sheep. And so it has to be supernatural. It has to be from God and to make the difference. So I don't know whether you heard that analogy. As a big elephant, and who has a friend, a little mouse. Have you heard that analogy? I don't know whether you have, but it's fun. And so they were buddies. And so they're walking through the wood. They're walking through a bridge. Those suspension bridge, you know, old style, not the new style. So kind of like shaking a little bit. So the mouse and the elephant was walking through it. So the mouse walking it, it's kind of really quiet. And then when the elephant walked on it, it go boom, 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 you know, it's shaking. So when they finished walking, the bridge was still shaking. So the mouse looked back and said, hey, look at what we just did. That's the same as the sheep going to the wolves. Because God is going with us. And our shepherd is going with us. The Holy Spirit is going with us. We have no chance to survive. But if we know that our God is with us, then nothing's too difficult for us. So there's one out, because God wants us to have life. And also, God has the lost sheep in mind. And I think in this particular setting, it applied to the house of Israel. And the house of Israel is supposed to be a bunch of people who belong to God, right? So they're God's people. But there's people who's lost. And they do not know Jesus. They do not follow the Creator. They might be following a whole bunch of religious practices. They might have followed a whole bunch of things that grow up. And like us, we would go to church, we worship, but they don't have a personal relationship with God. And so, Jesus saying that I'm going to send you out so that you can reach out to the lost sheep to bring them back to me. And so, there's two reasons, two outs. First is to do with life. God sent us in among wolves so that we can experience life. It's a really difficult concept to grasp because you have to lose something to experience it. So when you're not willing to lose it, you really don't experience it. So I encourage you to think, how can I lose so that I can experience that life? And second is to do with the lost sheep, because there's a whole bunch out there. It's not only about me, it's not only about us, it's about God's business. He has all these people in mind. They're lost without Him. And the only way to reach out to those lost sheep is to send us, those fat sheep, going in among wolves, and so that we can reach out to the lost sheep. I don't fully understand the logic, but that's kind of what Jesus is saying. That's the two reasons that He is a wild shepherd. But it gives us a little bit more context. So before He sent out the 12 disciples, two by two, and go among wolves, actually that's what He did. So He, in chapter 9, and you can look at that, and Jesus healed a whole bunch of people. So a lot of sick people got healed, and then He looked at them. And that's what it's what is echoing in Jesus' heart. He said when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep is being used a lot. Shepherd and sheep's relationship in the Bible is a lot of being used as an analogy. So He's saying that those are the harassed sheep. Those are the helpless sheep. Those are people who's being harassed. Those are the people who are helpless. I don't know whether you know anyone who's helpless and being harassed. It's just like going through really hard time, very difficult time. And what Jesus said is that he said, I saw all those people, and they're all like this. They're helpless and harassed. And they're the sheep without the shepherd. And what shall I do? And so it's called the 3H, okay? Check with me. So one is harassed and helpless. But what Jesus saw is that actually he said, then he said to the disciples, so when you see helpless and harassed people, don't be frightened by it. Don't feel like you are so helpless, don't know what to do. And Jesus saw those people, and he not only see 2H, but he see the third harvest. And he's saying that then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnest to the Lord of harvest to send our labor into his harvest. And so when he see all this need, and he's saying that this is time for harvest. And you and I can play a role. We can be in the harvest field. And when I was in college, my third year, we did a summer project. So you do that from time to time. You have missions trip, right? Maybe like a spring break trip. And there was a summer long trip. And so as a good student, I really wanted to study in the summer. And I did it for one summer. And I thought, this summer I'm going to set apart for the Lord. So whatever you gain in life, right, you put it aside, and so that you can really, truly find life. So I thought, I'm going to give a try. So I went to the summer to that missions trip. And I remember seeing this big, muscular bodybuilder. It was on the beach. You know, we're sharing the gospel with people. And this guy was showing off. You know, he's really muscle, a lot of muscle. And so, yeah, not like me, I have muscle here. It used to be. And so, and he was taking all the attention. So I thought, this guy needs to be taken care of. I'm going to take care of you. And because God is with me, I'm going to take care of you. So I just dove in, and then I shared the gospel with him. And I mean, little you know, sometimes you know God is doing amazing things. And that's why don't be afraid when you feel like I'm only a sheep, I'm going among wolves, and God is going to bless you. So I shared the gospel with him, and he became a Christian. And I said, would you like to get baptized? He said, yes, he got baptized. And so the first person I've ever baptized in my life, I was, you know, around like some of your ages. And so I just thought, this is amazing. God's gospel is the power to change life. The harvest is here. I saw this distraction. I saw this guy is taking all the girls' attention. And he's showing off his muscle. But he's the harvest. And he was harassed. He was helpless in certain ways. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. So he came at night to see us. And we give him chocolate. He said, no, I cannot eat chocolate. I can only eat chicken. Because I need protein. Because when I'm going to competition in a few days, I only can eat chicken. But he took one cookie because we love him so much. So anyway, what happened is, whatever difficulty you see, whatever you see people in hard time, and whatever you feel like things are not going your way, it could be the harvest. And Jesus is pointing out us to harvest. So what are you seeing? Do you see helpless people, harassed society, or you see a harvest that the Lord wants to send you into the harvest field? So that's what Jesus said. So let's quote this. I think this is an amazing verse. We put in all our postcard for short-term missions. And Jesus said, he said, pray earnestly to the Lord the harvest. And send out laborers into his harvest field. And I thought it was such a profound concept, because imagine that God is here, that's his harvest field right here, and there's harvest time, he needs people to work. And I'm God, right? And so I have all the resources in the world. And couldn't I just hire Sam and say, hey, Sam, I'm going to pay you $100 an hour. Come to the office. Or I'm going to maybe hire Chris, you know, I'm going to pay you even more, even more. A little bit more than Sam. So can you come to the harvest? And can I do that? But he asked us, the fat sheep who's being sent among wolves, into that harvest field and pray to the Lord of harvest, to his harvest, to pray to him to send out more workers, more sheep among wolves. And I thought that was amazing. Somehow God wanted to involve us, wanted to interact with us, wanted to go with us. Just like that big elephant going with that little mouse. And he is the big elephant, we are the little mouse. Don't get it mistaken, but we can shake the bridge because he's with us. We can go. And so that's what Jesus said. And also remember, in all this, we're talking about Jesus is a wild shepherd because he's sending us in among wolves, which is dangerous. But on the other hand, he's a good shepherd. What he is doing is for our very good, to give us life, and so that he can reach more lost people and to bring into his kingdom. And that's what it says here. The thief come only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm a good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. If Jesus laid down his life for us, why wouldn't we think that we can lay down our life for the lost sheep? Challenge for you. Jesus is a wild shepherd. He's an extraordinary shepherd. He's not the usual kind of shepherd, and he's giving the sheep the very best. And so I challenge you to follow him. But by following him, that means surrendering our life. And we need to give our life to the Lord. I don't know at what point that you feel like that might happen, but at a certain time in our life, we need to give total surrendering to the Lord. And I challenge you to consider that. So I'm going to surrender my life to the Lord. And also, I challenge you to go to the lost sheep. It's a new semester. We have a lot of new people coming in, and new student and or return student, they might have freshly and new understanding after they've been to home, and or you know some even come into the new semester. And I suggest maybe we can interact with them a little bit. They're the lost sheep that God really cares, and he's sending us out to reach out to them. And also I challenge you to be a worker in the harvest field. And a worker means someone who's touching life. A worker means someone who is maybe taking initiative, inviting a friend to something, or share Christ with your friend. And also pray for workers. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people who's helpless and harassed. But pray to the Lord of harvest to send a worker to the harvest field. And I have one practical promotion for you. So this is kind of the end of what it says here. We do have short-term mission project and going on in the summer. And if you are interested to and involved in some of those projects, those would be in East Asia. Actually, we are going to do a project in Wuxi, and where Craig and Melissa and a lot of you are from. And so we're going to work with some of their partners and to teach English to some of the children. And we're going to do other city, and also we're going to visit people sent out from some of your church in Hong Kong and maybe do some project with them. So it's a meaningful time for you to consider. So if you're interested, we have a phone call at my home at 3:30 on Sunday. So you can write down my number, 816-308-9988. Let me do it again. 816-308-9988. And you can text me, I'm interested. I will invite you to my home. And let's be a fat sheep, go to the wolves and get them. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are that big elephant. And you can shake the world. We cannot shake the world. But thank you, Lord, that you're inviting us to participate in your mission, in your harvest field. What a privilege there is. Lord, we pray that many of us will throw ourselves into your care, will follow you just like you did. You lay down your life for your sheep, and we will lay down our life for you. And thank you, Lord, that is the only way to gain life. Lord, we ask you raise up many workers among us. We pray for many workers so that we can touch Fort Collins, we can touch the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.